The Great Awakening, heralded as one of the mightiest moves of God in the history of the church. Giants of God, men like John Wesley, who started the Methodist Church, George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards, were the pillars of the Great Awakening. Multiplied thousands of people were saved under their ministry. In fact, social structures throughout the world, in England and the United States, were changed because of the Great Awakening. It's said that England was spared the kind of stuff that happened during the French Revolution because of the Great Awakening, because there was a change in the people. That's how powerful this thing. It stretched across continents. Now, John Wesley, when he started preaching, and these guys got kicked out of the churches. Jonathan Edwards, well, actually, even in him later on in his life, was removed from church over a controversy. John Wesley and George Whitefield got kicked out of church because the people said they were too enthusiastic. And so they had to preach out in the fields, and like 20,000 people would gather out in the fields to hear these guys. Now, John Wesley, when he first started preaching under the power and the anointing of God, he saw people falling out all the time. It was just, you know, I've got a book. Precious little thing I found online. It's called Supernatural Occurrences of John Wesley. It's about 100 pages, chock full. This pastor went through all of the writings of John Wesley, took out all the supernatural occurrences that he had recorded in his journals, and it will blow you away, the stuff that happened in John Wesley's meetings. I mean, Pentecostal? Man. Anyway, he was used to this kind of stuff. George Whitefield, you know, a Calvinist, was, you know, he was used to a little bit more structure and a little bit less, you know, chaos and stuff like that. He wasn't really sure about all this kind of stuff. So him and John Wesley got together for lunch one day. In fact, on July 7th, 1739, and Wesley said, "Don't worry about it. You know, just let God be God. Just, you know, open yourselves up to what God wants to do." And this is what John Wesley recorded. "But the next day, he, Whitefield, had an opportunity of informing himself better." That's how they talked back then. You know, it's like, you know, 1700s. "For no sooner had he begun in preaching to invite all sinners to believe in Christ than four persons sank down close to him almost in the same moment. One of them lay without either sense or motion. A second trembled exceedingly. The third had strong convulsions all over his body, but made no noise unless by groans. The fourth, equally convulsed, called upon God with strong cries and tears." And I love what Wesley says to conclude. He says, "From this time, I trust, we shall all suffer God to carry on his own work in the way that pleaseth him." In other words, God, if that's what you want to do, to set people free from the power of darkness and bring them into your kingdom so they can know you and be a mighty man or woman of God, who am I to fight against God? Again, I'm not looking for weirdness. That's not our goal here. I just want more of him and more and more and more and more. And if it pleaseth God to deliver people in such a way, I pray he would deliver multitudes. And if you go through that book and if you look at the writings of people and what happened during the Great Awakening, this was a common occurrence. Were there fakers? Absolutely. I read one account, John Wesley was preaching. This man over here was, you know, he discerned that this guy was carrying on like that in the flesh just to draw attention to himself, but he wasn't really causing any great disturbance, so he just let him go, just kept on preaching. But there was another woman over here that was going through all this stuff, and he could tell in his spirit that that was of the flesh, and she was drawing people's attention away. So he had she was writhing and wailing, all this kind of stuff, and he had the deacons carry her out, and he said they laid her on the sidewalk, and as soon as they laid her on the sidewalk, she found her legs and walked away. A little bit of discernment goes a long way. A little bit of oversight, a little bit of leadership. That's what's needed, not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Praise God. "From this time, I trust, we'll suffer God to carry on his own work in the way that pleases him." Wise words. And I could go on for hours describing this type of stuff happening during the Great Awakening. But what about the stuff, if we go back to that list, what about the stuff on the right side of the list? The questionable manifestations. You know, faked stuff, false doctrine, attention seeking, that kind of thing. Well, did that happen in Scripture? Absolutely. We see that throughout the New Testament. Was the New Testament a move of God? Would you call the Acts of the Apostles a move of the Holy Spirit? I would. Would you call what was happening in Corinth and in Galatia and in Ephesus and all these places moves of the mighty Spirit of God? Amen. Amen. Do you know that in the midst of all that stuff going on, and you know, all the time you hear people say, boy, I wish I was in the first century church to see God healing people like that and moving in all these ways. Do you know that in the midst of that, they had rightless kind of stuff going on all over the place? Church of Corinth. You had people giving false prophecies saying Jesus was cursed. You had people falling into gross sexual immorality. And Paul said, what are you guys putting up with this stuff for? Deliver him to Satan so his flesh can be saved in the day of judgment. Or his spirit can be saved. You had false doctrine creeping in. Timothy, the pastor of Ephesus, was told over and over, appoint elders because you've got false teachers in your church. You need to come against these guys and set them straight and get this false doctrine taken care of. You had Ananias and Sapphira, attention seekers trying to get prestige. And so they lied to Peter about the amount that they had sold the property for. They didn't have to do that. They could have just said, we decided to keep some of the money. But they wanted that prestige. They lied. They said, here's all the money we got for it. And they fell down dead. Peter said, you didn't lie to men. You lied to the Holy Ghost. And they fell down dead at his feet. New Testament church, early church, right there in the New Testament, you had powerful moves of God. And in the midst of all that, you had the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the enemy. Praise God. Now, Nicholas the deacon, Acts chapter 6, they appointed, you know, seven deacons full of the Holy Spirit. And one of them was named Nicholas. Do you know later he fell into false doctrine? The doctrine of the Nicolaitans we were studying about in Revelation, the early church fathers believed that that was actually caused by Nicholas, one of the deacons that was appointed in Acts chapter 6 to help serve the Greek widows. Spirit-filled man, got off track. Had to be rebuked right in the middle of this, all this stuff going on. Now, historically, you look at the Great Awakening again. In Jonathan Edwards, who was considered to be the greatest theologian in American history, pillar of the Great Awakening, said that in the midst of that mighty work of God, there was a lot of criticism and just a whole barrage of criticism and rebuke from people, because in the midst of that work of God, you also had mixed in there works of the flesh and works of Satan in the middle of the Great Awakening. This is what he said. When people criticized, he said it was because the work is attended with a mixture of error, imprudence, darkness, and sin. Because some persons are carried away with impressions and are indiscreet, they're too censorious with their zeal, and because there are high transports of religious affections and some effects on their bodies of which we do not understand the reason. In other words, even though there was a mighty move of God, the Spirit was moving more powerfully probably than any time in history before that, there were people carrying on in the flesh, Satan working in his counterfeit stuff, and people getting carried away and out of balance in the midst of that, and it drew a hailstorm of criticism. I didn't realize that. I didn't know people were criticizing the Great Awakening. But he said it was brutal, the stuff that they were leveling against him. Now, that doesn't mean the Great Awakening wasn't a genuine work of God, does it? How many people doubt that when Wesley and Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards, you know, were the pillars of this thing that God was doing, that was just a sham. It was just fake. It was a counterfeit. Anybody feel that way? Neither do I. So he went on to say, he wrote a lot about this, he went on to say, just because, this is interesting, listen to what he said, just because there are irregularities of conduct, errors in judgment, delusions of Satan, people falling into gross errors and scandalous conduct, all of that does not mean that the work in general is not of the Spirit of God. But when you get on the internet today and you look up recent revivals in recent times, you see people pointing out all these different things and saying, well, that just proves it's not God. Bunch of deluded people being led down into Satanism and the occult and blah, 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 on and on and on. And it happens every time there is a mighty move of God. Instead of correcting the things that are out of balance, you get people lining up on both sides, aiming cannons at each other. Some are defending anything and everything that goes on because they don't want to say that it's not of God. Other people are condemning the entire work as a satanic plot to bring down the church. In the midst of all the criticism, the whole thing fizzles out. This guy, Arthur Wallace, whose $200 book that I found, This is what he said. He says, if we find a revival that is not spoken against, we'd better look again to make sure it is a revival. So if God moves in a powerful way in our church, and I pray that he does, be ready for criticism. Don't get blown away. Don't get scared off because somebody says, oh, you guys are a bunch of lunatics, man. And again, I'm not looking for weirdness, but I want him. I want all of him. And I want him now. One of the greatest revivals in history alongside the Great Awakening was something called the Welsh Revival of 1904. Anybody ever heard of the revival in Wales? Matt? Jenny? Okay. Cool. Awesome, man. And this is held up by critics, even critics who say, oh, you guys are all nuts. Even critics will hold this up as a model for revival. What I found out about this thing is amazing, okay? Here's this guy, Evan Roberts. It's a good name. Evan Roberts was a coal miner, decided to go to seminary. He's a 25-year-old guy. And he began to yearn for more of God's power. He began to hunger and thirst for the power of God. He would wake up in the middle of the night and pray for 4 hours at a stretch that God would fill him with more anointing and more power so that he could be a vessel for his use. God decided to answer his prayers. He starts feeling the Holy Spirit as he's praying more and more and more. And one day he goes to this meeting where an evangelist named Seth Joshua is preaching. And Seth begins to pray. He said, Lord, bend us. And as soon as he said those words, the Holy Spirit got a hold of Evan Roberts' heart. And he says, that's what you need. Hear that. That's what you need. And so he gets really convicted. And the next day he comes back to this meeting. And God pours out on Evan Roberts this powerful wave of anointing from the Holy Spirit. This is what Evan Roberts said happened to him the next day. He said, I felt a living power pervading my bosom. It took my breath away and my legs trembled exceedingly. This living power became stronger and stronger as each one prayed until I felt it would tear me apart. My whole bosom was a turmoil, and if I had not prayed, it would have burst. I fell on my knees with my arms over the seat in front of me. My face was bathed in perspiration, and the tears flowed in streams. I cried out, bend me, bend me. It was God's commending love which bent me, and what a wave of peace flooded my chest. I was filled with compassion for those who must bend at the judgment, and I wept. Following that, the salvation of the human soul was solemnly impressed upon me. I felt ablaze with the desire to go through the length and breadth of Wales to tell people of their Savior. Wow. And you know what? That's exactly what he did. He took 5 young girls with him who were singers. 1, 2. Anyway. And he starts going around preaching. And everywhere he would show up, man, the Holy Spirit would just begin to pour out in waves of power. And people were transformed. I mean, as he would be having these meetings, people would start crying and wailing and crying out and falling out and trembling and convulsing under the power of God. And it would go on all day and all night into the early hours of the morning. And Evan Roberts said that he would stop and get about 2 to 3 hours of sleep, that he'd wake up and the whole thing would start all over again. And this went day after day after day after day after day. He poured himself into this thing. It is estimated, and I've read this in several places, it's estimated that in a 9-month period of this revival, in Wales alone, over 100,000 people got saved. 9 months, 100,000 people. Man. They say that in Wales at that time, taverns and bars began to go out of business because people stopped drinking. The crime rate went through the floor. Police were standing around with nothing to do. It's been said that even in the coal mines, because it was a big coal mining place, that the donkeys and the stuff, the mules that they would use to go into the mines, were so accustomed to being told through profanity what to do that when the people stopped using the stuff, the donkeys didn't know what to do and they were having trouble getting things done even in the coal mines. I mean, this is how far-reaching this was. It literally transformed the culture of that day. And what happened is people started coming from all over the world. They heard about this thing from India, from China, from Africa, from all, literally all over the globe. People started coming to Wales. And they would get this anointing, and the anointing would stay with them, and they'd take it out into the world, and there was revival breaking out in almost every country of the world. I have one account, I left it at home by accident, a page long. It was about a girls' school in India where they had heard about the Welsh revival. They didn't even go, they'd heard about it, and they started crying out to God for the same power. And, you know, he poured out his Holy Spirit. The young girls were getting, you know, filled with the Spirit, crying out in repentance and feeling this power of God. And it even has a little thing in there that said, and then Satan began counterfeiting the gifts. And that some of the girls began to imitate what they saw because they wanted it so bad. Nevertheless, even with that, God did a mighty move there. All over the world. How many would agree that that was a wonderful move of God? Check this out. A lot of people started criticizing this. They didn't like the supernatural stuff. They didn't like the stuff going on. What are you guys doing? They started saying, oh, that's satanic. That's not of God. Look, that's not in the Bible. You guys are a bunch of nuts. That's of the flesh. You're getting carried away. You're just a bunch of, you know, lunatics out there. And they started a hail storm of criticism against the Welsh revival. In fact, Evan Roberts, the guy who started this thing, was living with a woman, rooming, not living with her, you know, like in sin or something. She allowed him to stay at his house, who became one of the biggest critics of the revival, and she pounded on him day after day after day that this stuff was not of God. She began to say, any kind of manifestation that you see that you can tangibly feel in your body is of Satan. It's not of God. And she actually put out a book called War on the Saints that literally dismissed about everything that happened in the Welsh revival as satanic. And so here Evan Roberts is, and he's getting this blistering criticism from all sides, even from the very person who's giving him a place to stay. And he's only getting 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night, and he's going day after day after day after day. Do you know that he actually suffered a nervous breakdown and had to walk away from the ministry after only 2 years?